Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I had to build my confidence for this one. You guys ready? Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. We could keep going, but I won't. Good King Wenceslas, right? It's a Christmas carol. You guys heard it? Anybody heard it? You guys all know this one, right? Right, it's about a Bavarian king who, he is in this high estate, and he looks out into the cold wilderness of a Christmas day, and he sees this peasant who is gathering fuel for his fire at home. And so he goes out, and from his abundance, King Wenceslas, he wants to go and search out this peasant, that way he can have mercy on him, that way he can give him something good. And of course, this is a good message for us. As Christians, I mean, we should do this too. When we recognize our great abundance, give to those who maybe have less. After all, that's what Jesus did for us. He is in the highest state of heaven, and what does he do? But he looks down on us poor, miserable sinners living in this cold, dark world, and he comes to grant us his great blessings. Thereby we have Christmas. You know, his perfect life, his innocent death, and his glorious resurrection. And so, by that, God has blessed us, both spiritual and temporal. We have an abundance of gifts from the Lord. If we can't recognize that at Christmas time, well, when can we? I mean, that's just the size of it, right? So, Merry Christmas. All good things. But good King Wenceslas, I'm pretty sure he's made up. He's not real. And so why do we start the sermon with him? Well, in fact, we're not. We're actually starting the sermon with the Feast of Stephen. Good King Wenceslas looks out on the Feast of Stephen. And the Feast of Stephen is always the second day of Christmas on December 26th. And Stephen, in fact, is in Scripture. And so let me read these words for you today. This is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And by sleep, in this case, we certainly mean Stephen died. Merry Christmas, Stephen. Doesn't sound like Stephen is having a very merry Christmas. But having received faith by the Holy Spirit and believing that Jesus was his Savior, the one who was crucified and risen for him, out of the abundance of his belief in this promise, he speaks. Stephen is bold to tell those in the synagogue of what they are called the freedmen about Christ. The problem is that they don't like Stephen's message. And I kind of spliced this part out, but really what part of Stephen's message was that they killed Jesus, that it was them who put him on the cross, that it was them who ended up murdering the Savior of the world. That's not a good message. I mean, people don't like to hear that. You really screwed up over there. Like, it's an unwelcome message. And what happens when there's an unwelcome message is that murder comes. Death comes with an unwelcomed message. And, you know, later on I'll tell you how that comes in various ways. But you see the similarities here to our lives, right? We're now the Christians who are filled with an abundance of God's word. We're filled with an abundance of faith. We have received all of God's spiritual and temporal blessings. He has poured his word into us. And what do we do but we speak? And the freedmen of this world, they don't like it. They don't want to hear about Jesus. The unbeliever, they grind their teeth when Christians confess the truth as found in God's word. And so, for instance, if you tell the world that there is only one way to get to heaven, tell people that Jews are condemned to hell. Tell people that Muslims are condemned to hell. Tell people that Buddhists and Hindus are condemned to hell. People don't like that. No, the whole world is supposed to get along. We're all supposed to be part of this world peace thing, especially at Christmas. No, Jesus is the only way to heaven, my friends. But the world doesn't like to hear it. They grind their teeth and they will condemn you. Consequently, you know, we preached about this a few weeks back. Abortion is murder. It's not about women's rights. It's about protecting life. Abortion should be outlawed in our country, but if you tell the world about it, they will grind their teeth at you. They don't want to hear it. Transgenderism and homosexuality are a scourge on society. It's literally tearing down the very fabrics of what we know as a good and God-pleasing and society that can actually move itself forward. Tell the world that. They don't like it. Everybody wants to live however they want, and if you start to bring God's word into the picture, you get condemned. Let's bring prayer back into school. That'll never happen, right? Because the world hates Christians. You're rejected. You're despised. And if you open your mouth to speak the truth of God's word, you can be certain that people will grind their teeth at you. And maybe not within the church. I mean, you're amongst friends here, right? But the vast majority of the people out there, outside these walls, they're unbelievers. Keep the church to the church. Keep your beliefs to yourself. That's the message of the world. Stephen's message is different. What we learn from Scripture, from Acts, is different. And what Scripture tells us is to be bold, to speak the truth, even if it means that people don't want to hear it. Because whether or not the world admits it, they need to hear God's word. They need to understand God's promises because they're way better off for it. Even if they don't like to hear it, it's still good for them. The world needs more Stephens. People who are unashamed and bold. People who will speak the truth no matter what. Even if that means death. Now, none of us wants to die. Stephen didn't desire his death. That's not why he spoke as if he was looking to be a martyr in the world. But again, that boldness of faith, because he had received so much from Christ, he couldn't be silent. He couldn't just let the confession go. He couldn't not say something. He had to tell people about Jesus. He had to speak the truth. That's what the Spirit led him to do. And honestly, it's far better for us to die. I'd rather die tomorrow for confessing the truth than live to the ripe old age of, 90 or 100 years old and then look back on my life and see all the missed opportunities where I simply capitulated to what the world wanted. I mean, to see all of the ways in which you have failed to confess, that's almost a fate that is worse than death. So be bold. And of course, as I said before, I mean, death is inevitable. We're all going to die. And none of us are seeking to jump into it. But truth be told, if you do speak, you will kill something. Or something will be killed, rather. And it might not be your physical death, although maybe, depending on how things continue, maybe that will be a reality. But think about the deaths that might occur in your relationships. If you speak the truth, you're going to offend somebody in your relationships. We all know there's things that are taboo, things that ought not be spoken of around certain people. But you're called to be bold, and you're called to speak the truth, in love, of course. There might be the death of someone's perception about you. You know, sometimes I refrain from speaking something because I'm afraid to be labeled the Christian. Or, you know, I'm a pastor, obviously. Like, my family knows that. My friends know that. But sometimes it's just nice to, like, not be labeled the pastor or the Christian. But we need to be bold enough to take on those labels, to put to death people's perception of us and just be the Christians that God has called us to be. And it's a death. It's putting to death our sinful nature, and it's rising to newness of life in Christ. And that's what Stephen really teaches us. That a death, because of a proclamation of Christ, it's a death that is worth dying. And we know that in Stephen's death, he doesn't lose anything at all. In fact, Stephen has a lot to gain. He dies, certainly, maybe his earthly life is over. But as he sees this vision of heaven and Christ sitting there at God's right hand, and he goes, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," and Jesus does. Stephen didn't lose anything that day. He gained God's nearer presence. That's what gives him the boldness to speak. And that's what Christian faithfulness is all about. It's not about longevity of life, but it's about dying well. And so how do we die well? It's by sharing in what Jesus did. It's by remembering who Christ is for us. Not just the baby who was born in a manger of the Virgin Mary, but the baby who then grows in knowledge and wisdom, and God's favor is upon him, and he lives this perfect life, and he heals the sick, and he raises the dead, and then he himself goes to the cross to shed his blood and to die for you. And he comes back to life for you too. That way, even if you die, and especially if you die for the confession of your faith, you will still have life and have it to the full. Stephen knew that. And I know you know that too. But it empowers us to live lives just like Christ lived. And notice these comparisons between what Jesus endured in his life, what we endure in our lives even, and then what Stephen did in his own death. Right? Jesus, we, Stephen, all three of us, we confess the truth of God's word. And what happens? But people don't like it. Our opponents are angry about it. And then what happens? But you know, and maybe not physically, but Jesus at his baptism, he sees the heavens being torn open. Stephen, he sees the heavens open. We have the heavens open to us by virtue of our baptisms and because Christ has promised that they are. Jesus, he's taken out of the city, bearing his own cross, carrying it up Mount Golgotha. And Stephen, too, is cast out, just as we are cast out of society for being Christians. Jesus and Stephen, they're both executed. Jesus on the cross, Stephen by stoning. But in that time, what they do is he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Jesus and Stephen both, they commend themselves to the Lord's will, whatever that may be. And we do the same. Lord, wherever this confession leads us, wherever this Christianity leads us, it is, my spirit is yours. My life is yours. It's what we do. And finally, in their last moments, we find them praying. And again, this is what we should do. The unbelieving world, they need our prayers. Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the prayer of a Christian. God, please save the unbelieving world. Bring those people who are outside these walls, bring them in. That way they too might hear of the Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, for me, and for the whole world. I pray that the Lord grants you to meet your end like Stephen. And I don't mean by stoning. I mean an end that is in the faith. I hope that the Lord grants you boldness to speak, faith that sees Jesus' atonement as the greatest of all things, that his blood and his death would inspire your life to be the Christians that God has called you to do, or called you to be, rather. I pray that God would give you this gift of the Spirit, that you would know that the heavens are always open for you. That nothing in this world, nothing in your life will ever be able to shut the heavens. Because God has promised that they are open. I pray that you see that God has given you life, even in the midst of death. Because after all, it's the season of Christmas. Jesus came down from his high estate to give you from his abundance. He has forgiven all of your sins. He has granted you eternal life, and there is nothing better. While we might imagine Stephen didn't have a very merry Christmas, his confession is exactly the opposite. In both life and death, Stephen knew Christmas joy, and that joy has no end. And so on this Feast of Stephen, have a blessed and merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.